Our gospel today is from John chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is our gospel. Be seated. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you've given us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Bless us in this time as we look at it more closely. In Jesus' name, amen. This happened while my daughter was very small. And it's happened to me also when I was holding one of my grandchildren. And it's kind of like, I'll just tell it in the way that it happened with my daughter first here. You see, I was just kind of sitting there, and she was sitting on my lap, and she was facing me, but I was doing other things, and I was maybe reading a book or looking at something, don't know where. I know I wasn't looking at my cell phone because I didn't have one then. And she's sitting there, and I'm sitting here and looking elsewhere, and she's trying to get my attention. And of course, you know how that goes. She went like this, grabbed my cheeks and pulled my face over towards her. She's right here, and she's grabbed them and pulled them over. And she had to do it a couple times because I didn't want to look at the time. And then finally, she got my attention. When our eyes met, okay, now she knows that I'm listening. And then she told me whatever she told me. But the preciousness of that gentle touch, just grabbing your cheeks and pulling you to look right at her, was a very powerful thing. She was with me, but I wasn't with her. It took a gentle invitation and a little effort on her part to get my attention, but it worked. And same thing happened with my granddaughter. You know, she grabbed my face, and it was harder too. She was tougher. Just pulled me right over. I went, "Okay, I'm listening." It's funny that God, you know, we know that He sees us all the time. Not only does God see us, He knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows us, and there is nothing that He doesn't know about us. That's hard to imagine. We hardly know ourselves. Psalm 139, of course, focuses on that in about four different verses. And it reminds us that our activities, that our words, even our thoughts, are known by God even before they come on the tip of our tongue, before we speak our words. Later in the psalm, we hear that God even saw us and loved us before we were born. While we were still in our mother's womb, He saw us and told us that we were wonderful. In our gospel reading today, Jesus found Philip a couple different times, three. In fact, the word "found" is used. Jesus told Philip to follow me. Later, Philip found Nathanael, and Nathanael may also be the personal name for Bartholomew. Philip told Nathanael that Jesus was the one spoken of in Moses and the prophets, the Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. He was, in other words, a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. Nathanael answers very skeptically. In verse 46, we hear him say, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael was clearly not too impressed with that little town. But still, did Philip give up after hearing the negative answer from Nathanael? He didn't. He did not give up. And what were the next words that Philip said to Nathanael? He said, "Come and see." Did Nathanael give up after hearing where Jesus was from? No. He actually did go. To his credit, though reluctant, he went with Philip, and he wanted to come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is nothing false," or another translation says, "no guile or no deceit." Nathanael answered, "How do you know me?" We don't know exactly if he was saying, "How do you know me?" or "How do you know me?" You know, we don't know really exactly how it was said, but we know he asked it. And I think at this point, he knew, maybe I had a sense that Jesus could see him, or like see into him. It is this beginning of getting his attention, kind of like that gentle pulling away on the cheeks. It could also be this early exchange of a question of curiosity. I don't know for sure. But what I do know is what Jesus answered. He said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." That fig tree is like a reference to Israel. And also, it's likely a reference to a fruit of worship, you know, or a prayers or righteousness of God. And so maybe it is that Jesus saw him while he was doing his personal devotions, while he was praying. Maybe as Jesus saw him, that he was in prayer to God or reciting scripture, we don't know. But the whole thing is, for that to be known, we hit him right here. He knew that Jesus knew him. Jesus revealed what he saw to Nathanael while praying or having his devotions, and whatever it was, is not as important as it. Nathanael knew that Jesus knew him. He revealed something only God knew. I don't know if you've had something like that happen to you, but it's an amazing thing when it happens. When God reveals something else to another person about you, who only God would know. It's amazing. He calls Jesus Rabbi. He calls him Son of God. He calls him the King of Israel. All these things are of praise to him. Praise to Jesus. It reminds me of verses from Matthew chapter 6. It speaks about how we shouldn't do things to be seen by others, but rather to be seen by our Father in heaven. We should do things in secret, whether it's giving to the poor or giving to the needy or our prayers or fasting. He says, don't do it in front of men, because if you do it to be seen by men, then you lose reward. But if you do it to be seen by your Father, to honor him, praise him, do it in secret, then you'll be rewarded. That's what this kind of reminds me of. Nathanael had, I think, done something secretly, been in prayer to God, and Jesus saw this and told him that. And it was powerful enough that he knew exactly what he was talking about. Then Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than these." Jesus then said, "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Maybe if you've been listening to the Bible or reading the Bible from that year to the Bible in a year thing, Genesis has the Old Testament reading and the New Testament that's on the back counter in there, the little table by the stairs. There we would have had Matthew 28 this past week. And Genesis 28. And in there you hear about Jacob's ladder. You hear about a ladder that stretches from earth up to heaven, and angels of God are going back and forth on it. And then I believe that this is a reference today when we hear about he will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Because Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, is that one through whom access to heaven is given to anyone. So if you're going up and down, it's that he's like the bridge, you could say, to heaven. And then we have that Daniel 7, 13 to 14 reference. I'm going to read that to you here. Daniel 7, 13 to 14. I believe this where Jesus uses the Son of Man as a title for himself. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That Daniel 7 reference there sure makes sense with Jesus speaking about himself here as the Son of Man. Jesus is a greater access than just a ladder. He is the way, as he said, and the truth and the life in the Gospel of John. Jesus sees us and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows our heart, and he knows our sin, and he knows our desires and our secrets within. As Psalm 139 read, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. We cannot hide from God. It won't work. You can try as hard as you want. Jonah tried to do that. He ran from God, the opposite direction he was supposed to go. But God had plans for him. We can't hide from God. He finds us. And that's, of course, from our perspective. He knew where we were all along, but we realize that he finds us. And when that happens, things change. We let him do things in our life. The invitation that Jesus extended, or that Philip did too, was come and see. Come and see. When we come and see, what do we see? When he calls us to follow him, what do we see? We see a God who loves us very much. We see a God who calls us to follow him and to have access to him because he is the only way to heaven. He is the one by whom the angels go back and forth on. He is the access to the throne of the grace, to the throne of God. Come and see means to follow him daily and to see who he is. The more we follow him, the more we know who he is. There's a scripture here. I want to share with you here. From some notes taken yesterday. Maybe some of you were able to see the Bible conference. And that first one that they had had to do with pietism. And he mentioned various things. Typically we fall into legalism. It's easy to do that. It's easy to go this way or that way. But he talked about pietism as basically being an active faith, and even doing things which help us to grow, you know, in faith. Whether it be Bible reading, scripture, worship, different things he mentioned. And it's a reminder to me that that's part of the Christian life, following him. If we just say, we should do this, yeah, we should do this. We should do it because, like he said, we get to, but also it's a response of thankfulness to him. And coming and seeing him has to do with listening to him and talking to him. I was speaking with somebody this week, and I said, if you didn't speak to your wife, if you say you love her, you believe in her, you trust her, but you don't speak to her, or if you don't spend time with her, how is she's going to say, you don't love me. You're just doing your own thing. That's like us and God. It's so important that we spend time with him in prayer, in scripture reading, so that we can receive from him and that we can give back as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much that you call us to come and see. To come and see who you are. In that, Lord, we learn that you know who we are. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to take that time each day to come be with you. And then to see you reveal yourself to us in your word and in prayer. Bless us in this, God. Lead us in this. Because you are truly so beautiful and so wonderful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.